Shalom. We all know from kindergarten the famous Midrash that says that Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, was chosen because as opposed to Har Habayit, as opposed to Mount Tabor, as opposed to the Golan Heights, Mount Sinai is the lowest of mountains. And the Sfat Emet asks, so if humility is so important, so why wasn't the Torah given in a valley? Give it all the way down. And he answers that we need a Shminit Sheba Shminit Sheba Ga'ava. Right, a person, the point of the class today isn't to think lowly of yourself and to think I'm worthless. But it's interesting, Shminit Sheba Shminit comes out to 1/64th. 1/8 of an eighth is 1/64th, which is means that it should be batel b'shishim, that it's less than 1/60th. In other words, that it's really the minimum. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, who received and gave us the Torah, is described as Vaish Moshe anav mo'od mikol adam asher al pnei adamah. He is described as the most humble person whoever lived, which means that if the greatest teacher has that humility, then we're going to understand why Rav Kook directly connects the idea of learning Torah that we're learning in honor of Chag HaShavuot with the idea of humility. Maybe I'll just mention, I've mentioned once in the past, the smug, the Sefer Mitzvot Gedolot, Rav Moshe Mikotzi, one of the Baalei Tosfot. Why did he write another Sefer Mitzvot? All right, the Rambam already wrote a Sefer Mitzvot, counting the 630 Mitzvot. And the smug, at the beginning in his introduction, he tells of the following two dreams. And he writes, I swear these dreams are true. Don't think that I'm exaggerating. He writes that he had a dream that Hashem or Malach, I don't remember exactly, came to him in a dream and said that I want you to write a new counting of the 630 mitzvot because the Rambam left out some important ones. So you get a dream like that, you wake up in the morning and you start doing it. And as he was finishing up his work, he got another dream, and this time he was told, you also forgot the most important mitzvah. So this time, though, he was told, what is the most important mitzvah that everyone is forgetting? And the mitzvah is, V'rav levavcha v'shachachte et Hashem Elokecha, that if you become arrogant, you forget God. And so we see, you know, rabbis have a tendency when they're talking about Lashon Hara to say, this is the most important mitzvah. I mean, you're talking about Eretz Yisrael, you say, this is the most important mitzvah, and you're talking about Shabbat or Tzniut, whatever you're talking about, there are sources that say that this is the most important mitzvah. But what's interesting here is the Smag gets it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and he says, humility is the most important mitzvah. And whether it's a mitzvah or not, we're not going to get into, because, you know, we could justify the Rambam and all those who leave it out, because it's hard to command humility. Right, humility, all the commandments are something that every 12-year-old girl and every 13-year-old boy should be able to do. And humility, it takes years of work to get to humility. Nevertheless, I want to look together with you at some piskot in Rav Kook's Musar Avicha, Midot HaRe'iya, in the Midah of Ga'ava, where he talks about arrogance. We'll just see a couple, and hopefully we'll learn some others as we continue. Piskat Tedvav. Misha sune et ha-ga'ava be'emet, whoever really hates arrogance, kol machshevotav she'olot alibo hen divrei Torah. Whatever he thinks about, they are words of Torah. That's interesting. In other words, you could be talking about the weather, and if you hate arrogance, your words are words of Torah. We have to understand what's that talking about. A similar piskat tzayin, hasonet ga'ava. We're in source number one. I just wrote a lot from. Okay, hasonet ga'ava yizkel varer halacha brura. Whoever learns, whoever hates arrogance, the opposite of humility. Whoever hates arrogance, he will be zoche. He will merit to clarify clear halacha. Now, it's not a coincidence that Rav Kook, when he worked his work on the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, on the Shas, on the Talmud, he called it halacha brura, because very often people don't have a halacha brura. Rav Kook was a Talmid Muvhak, was a top student of the Netziv, who didn't like Rav Chaim of Volozhin's, Rav Chaim Mibrisk, Yoter Nachon, way of pilpulin. And he said a person has to go straight to the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, think straight. And that was Rav Kook's way also. And if we think about what is the connection between learning Torah properly and humility, and why it's so connected, let's look together in 1 Zion. Rav Kook here, in the same chapter, Haga'ava pogemet et haratzon. A person who is arrogant, it hurts his desire. He's lazy. V'cheivan sheharatzon pagum ein makom l'chol tuv lanuach. If a person is lazy, if a person... it's a common problem today, Baruch Hashem, with our high standard of living. Anybody who works with youth see that kids today are unbelievably lazy. And the computers, which make analyzing and research so easy, Davka, it comes together with the free will that kids are just getting more and more lazy. We see even during the afternoon, during free time, kids are on their smartphone rather than playing ball outside. And when it comes to learning Torah, laziness is a very difficult issue. If we look at the Memchet Darkei Kinyan Torah, the 48 ways through which we acquire the Torah, there are a lot of things that are miyut shena, cutting down on your sleep, right? To learn, everybody knows, Rambam brings it down, that most of a person's Torah he acquires at night. At night there's quiet. At night, you really have to put in that effort, special effort, and that effort is what brings the siyata d'shmaya, because when you work hard, that is what brings you clear halacha. Whereas what we're going to do is, as always, Rav Kook, it sounds like some kind of Kabbalistic idea that if you are humble, you will have Torah. It's 100% logical. Also, when you have difficulty understanding, giving a shiur Bezrat Hashem over Shavuot, that maybe some of you remember, I gave a shiur, I was preparing this for the Kulu Yom Shishi on our yeshuv. It was Friday mornings, I used to give a shiur in Parashat HaShavua, and I was breaking my head to try and figure out how to explain all of the 31 differences between the Ten Commandments in Parashat Yitro and the version in Parshat Vayetchanan. And nobody explains all of the differences. And I said, there must be some kind of basic... Anyway, I was working on this. Now, I'm talking about more than 30 years ago. So I really, you know, when you're young, you have chutzpah. I thought, you know, hey, maybe I'll come up with something that Rav Shin Shurim Fal Hirsch and the Ramban and the Meshechoch, all of them will explain a little, some of the differences, but nobody explains all the differences. And here I was, not even smart enough to know that, how am I going to get an answer to the question that nobody got before? And it was about 2, 3 in the morning, and I was working so hard, all of a sudden it hit me that Rashi and the Mechilta answer the question. That, anybody who wants to see the article, you could find it online in Hebrew, but in a nutshell, Kotomar Lebet Yaakov, the... Dibrot in Sefer Shmot are addressing the feminine aspect of Am Yisrael, the Beit Yaakov, Kotomar, which is more sensitive. On the other hand, those in Devarim are addressing the more male aspect of Am Yisrael, Vatagid Libnei Yisrael. And I can't believe that I had the Siyata Dishmaya to answer the question that nobody ever got before. It wasn't really me. It was in Chazal the Mechilta, and Rashi brings it down, but nobody realizes that that is the answer to all 31 differences. Now, if I would not have broken my head until 2, 3 in the morning, I would not have gotten the answer. And that is another part of the idea of humility. You have to On the one hand, you have to have that shminit shebashminit. You have to have that drop of chutzpah to think, yeah, I'm going to break my head and maybe I can get to the truth. But you have to have it really gets back to humility, that you are willing to put in the hard effort. And that is the concept of ratzon. And a person who's arrogant and thinks he knows it all, he's not going to put in the hours. Not only that, another point here that Rav Kook is without a doubt referring to, anybody who's learned Torah knows that chazara, that review, is even more important than learning it the first time, because if you don't review, you're just not going to remember it. So what does it help having learned it the first time? So, of course, it's good to learn every minute that you're learning Torah is important. But if you're going to remember it, that's obviously part of the goal. And you have to have humility to review. You know, I don't know everything. I have to review this, otherwise I'm not going to remember it. And this is also an idea of Piskachet, where Rav Kook writes, "Hagaava misavevet atzlut." Arrogance brings laziness. Now let's look at Piskatet, where we see another aspect here. We've been learning Rav Kook together for a long time, and you'll see that this is a pretty strong statement. Hagaava hi hatipshut hayoter prait. The most wild stupidity is arrogance. Now that is very harsh language for Rav Kook. Now, he obviously wants to make a point. What is the point that he wants to make here? So, if I just think about why is it stupid to be arrogant? I remember a kid who was in my high school class who, we had a class, in Mishnah Berurah, I still actually remember the exact halacha. Every now and then, when we learned the halacha, Rav Moshe Chaim Sosevsky from Beit Meir, he was our Rebbe, and whenever he would mention a halacha, that was a little difficult to accept. You know, you learn laws of Borer on Shabbat. What do you mean? I can't eat my watermelon? Or today we have watermelons without pits. Or I remember specifically that we learned that it's a problem having long hair because it's a chatzitza. It separates between your tefillin on your head and your head. And the Rebbe said, I remember him saying, I want to be diplomatic. Remember, this is the 70s where all of us were growing long hair, when we used to have hair. And and everyone had long hair, and he wanted to be diplomatic, and he said, listen, the best thing to do is to brush your hair after you put on tefillin, because if it's in its natural place, then it's not a separation between your head and the tefillin. And I remember my friend, he just said, I can't do this. What? I'm not going to brush my hair in the morning. And a person cannot learn halacha brura, as we saw, if he doesn't have humility to be willing to accept the cost of the true halacha. If a person understands things in a way that is comfortable for him, right, cognitive dissonance, then a lot of times you're not really understanding it the real way. And we all know that sometimes the truth is difficult to implement, but that is part of this idea. And somebody who is arrogant, he is going to have stupidity. Because, what do you mean, you know better than God? Sure. Or is there a lot of stupid things that come up as a matter of arrogance? Actually, connected with this, the Sri De'esh, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, who not only was one of the great rabbis of his generation, he also was a doctor. He had a doctorate. And he writes, when he talks about Bikoret HaMikra, Bible criticism, and Talmud criticism, he says that the questions of these people are very good. And that davka stems, to a certain extent, from their arrogance, right? Because they're willing to ask anything. Humble people, you know, they say, well, maybe I don't understand. But an arrogant person has good questions. The problem with Bible criticism, says the Sri De'esh, is that their answers allow for the easy way out. And that's not intellectually honest. If every time you have a problem, you just say, it's a mistake, or maybe it's two or three or four different authors, or somebody changed the text, you're not breaking your head to get to the truth of Torah. Right? And anybody who's learned Adam 1 and Adam 2 of Rav Soloveitchik, the difference between the description of chapter 1 and chapter 2 of is the same story, but it's described differently. So in Bible criticism, they just ask to two different accounts, two different gods, two different religions, two different authors, whatever you want to call it. And this is another problem with arrogance. That, again, arrogance davka, that shminit shebashminit, that 1/64th of having a little arrogance is good when it comes to asking questions. But when it comes to dealing with the halacha berurah, getting the real answer, if you're intellectually honest, you have to break your head and don't just take an easy way out. You know, it's a mistake. Or erase something. And this is connected to let's see, Piskat Ted Zayin. Oh, that we already read. Mishle. I brought for you in the book of Proverbs 14:3. Befi evil choter ga'ava v'sifte chachamim tishmurim. That Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, is writing here that in the mouth of stupid people, you will find the rod of arrogance. And again, Rav Kook is saying that arrogance brings stupidity. On the other hand, Siftei Chachamim Tishmurim, the mouth of wise people who have humility, that watches over them from not saying stupid things. A similar Gemara in source number 3, in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Sanech Vav, the Talmud tells us, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol HaMityaher, whoever is arrogant, Im Chacham Hu Chochmato Mistaleket Mimenu. If he's wise, his wisdom leaves him. Im Navihu, if he's a prophet, Nivuato Mistaleket Mimenu. He's not going to get more prophecy. And this is directly connected with our topic, especially when the Rambam writes that prophecy is a high level of Chochmah. You also need Siyata Dishmaya. But as the Gemara in Sota says that when a person is arrogant, as they used to say in the Western movies, there ain't enough room in this town for the two of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't leave room for me, right? You're so inflated. And maybe this is a good time to see a Rav Kook in source number 4, where he elaborates a little more. Hayesod HaKlali. We all know that Rav Kook is the spiritual father of religious Zionism. And here he talks about the important philosophical importance of not being self-centered, of not being egoistic. Excuse me. Ha'adam tzarich lechalitz tamid mimizgerotav ha'pratiot. A person has to constantly make an effort to break out of his self-centered frameworks. Ha'mimalot et kol mahuto, which fill up himself, ad shekol rayonotav sovavim tamid rak al dvar goralo aprati. So often, self-centered people, that's most people, they're preoccupied, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? What am I going to... And everything... Now, we all know that, in all honesty, none of you care what I wore today, or what I ate today, right? Because that's really insignificant. So Rav Kook is saying that a person who is so hung up on a life on himself is living a life of smallness. Now, anyone who's learned to Rav Kook with us knows that Rav Kook, as any good author, very often has double meaning here. So number one, is if you want to live a life connected with big things, you need humility. Don't just think about what am I going to eat, what am I going to do, what am I going to wear. You got to think of Am Yisrael. You got to think of Eretz Yisrael. What is happening in Israeli society today? What is happening in the South or in the North or with Iran? right? And obviously there are practical ramifications that a Jew has to be willing to fight the enemy, even if need be, give his life for the enemy. All of this is very altruistic. But somebody who is limited to a life of smallness, he just is not going to be connected to a life of large ideals. And that's not what Judaism is about. Now, the second meaning of katnut, it means a life of immaturity. Because when a person is young, God created us with the desire to survive, the drive to survive, right? So all that we care about is, ima, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, etc. But as we mature, we discover our siblings, we discover our friends, our peers. Ad kedei kach, eventually your peers for teenagers are more important than your parents. And then when you're old enough, right, you're old enough to have a giving relationship, right, with a woman or with a man, which is 50-50, right? I am not the center anymore, 50-50. And then a later stage, children, which is, we all know, it's just give. And hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem, maybe at the age of 119, maybe we'll need their help and they start giving back. But it's a one-way street. So what Rav Kook is saying is that part of life is developing. As we've seen many times, Orot HaTshuva of Rav Kook is based on evolution. The whole world is created on evolution. That there's trial and error and ups and downs, but the general direction is to learn from our mistakes and to mature. What does it mean to be mature? To be more godly. What does it mean to be more godly? Here, we'll look at source number 5, where Rav Kook takes it a step higher. Ha'anava v'karata emet. Humility and recognizing the truth. Ha'anavan manmicha et adat ha'elyona shel ha'adam. Humility lowers the person's arrogance. Umorida et ora le'omek omka shel nishmato. And it lets the light enter his soul. Val yedeze makiru et ha'emet la'amita. The only way that you can have an accurate assessment of yourself and of the situation is if you have humility, right? People who are arrogant, they're always thinking, okay, what if he says this to me? What am I going to answer? That one-upmanship. You say that in England?
Yeah.
Right? That's a very American thing. To keep pushing yourself up. That when a person is arrogant, he inflates. His ego is so inflated that it's just a matter of time before somebody just takes a little pin and pricks the balloon and everybody realizes, hey, he was just arrogant. He's not really as smart as he thinks, and he's not really as good as he thinks. And this guy is living in an ashleya. He's living in a dream world. He is not connected with what other people really think about. I remember in, won't give too many details, in my high school, a basketball team, we had elections for captain, and there was this guy who thought he would definitely, in basketball, yeah.
Democratic basketball, okay.
He thought he was sure he would be elected as captain, and he did have the highest points per game average because he took 5 times as many shots as anybody else, so he wasn't really that good, and I and another friend, Jordan Lurie, we were elected, and he didn't pass the ball to me again for the rest of the year. Because you know? He was... Now, this guy, you know, he really thought very highly of himself, but he was not connected with reality. And that is a very serious problem. Rav Kook continues, Ukafiro v'anava he'emet Elohit mitgale elav. On the other hand, as the more humble a person is, the more accurate he assesses himself, he assesses the situation, he's also willing to learn from other people, right? Somebody who doesn't have kavod tamidei chachamim, which is other points of the 48 ways of acquiring Torah, right? If you think you know it everything, you're not going to learn from others. And that's a very, very basic point. If we look at the mitzvot, we all know that one of the divisions of the mitzvot, of the commandments, is Bein Adam L'Chavero and Bein Adam L'Makom. Between man and his fellow man, that's about half of the mitzvot. If a person is self-centered, he's going to have a problem fulfilling all these mitzvot. Because he says, I want this. What, when a person steals, when a person kills, right? You bother me, or I want something that you have. That arrogance is a very serious problem. Now, the same thing with mitzvot ben adam lemakom, between man and God. You know, don't tell me what to do. Right? Like my friend in high school, right? And I want to eat a cheeseburger, or I want to drive to the beach on Shabbat. Right? A person who doesn't have humility has difficulty in all aspects of the Torah. But even more important than this, and now we're really raising it to a higher level, what is the concept of tzimtzum? The Kabbalistic aspect of that Hashem, he is perfect. He fills everything. So how did he create this little three-dimensional world? The answer is the Kabbalistic concept of tzimtzum. How does Rav Arya Kaplan, he has a good translation of that, condensing, condensation. The God, as if it were, condensed himself into this world. But what does that mean, to condense himself? The Ramchal, in Sefer Dat Vilnot, writes as follows. This is something that we mentioned in the past many times, so I'll just do it very quickly. It's a big topic, but being that you all know it, most of you know it already, so we can do it within a minute. Question of questions, why did God create the world? Right? Any answer that you suggest can be shlugged up, because that infers that God needed something. That God lacks something, that can't be, because the monotheistic God is perfect, he doesn't need anything. So, the Zohar, and the Ramchal brings it down, says the only possible answer to that question, why did God create the world, is out of altruism, selfless giving, which by definition, that is to give without getting anything in return. That is a giving that does not infer that God was lacking something. Okay? So, Hashem created the world to give. What's called chesed shel emet, the true chesed, which Chazal says, actually a pshat in several places, is helping a dead person, burying a dead person, the chevra kadisha, because he's not going to pay you back the favor. He's not going to say thank you. So that is olam chesed yibaneh. The pasuk in Tehillim is that Hashem created the world out of a desire to give, a desire that does not infer that he was lacking.
Not a need.
Not a need. Okay? So Hashem created the world to give. What does he give? The perfect gift, right? When a millionaire goes to a wedding, he gives a great gift, not like me, right? What is the perfect gift? Himself. He's the only thing which is perfect. How does God give himself to each and every one of us? He gave us a spark of himself, which is called chelek elokam ma'al, a part of God. It's also called selim elokim. The soul is called... Tselem is from the word litzalem. It's to photocopy, from the word tzel, shadow. That we, just like my shadow imitates me, my shadow is not me, but it imitates me. We are meant to imitate God. This is the concept that we mentioned in the past, imitatio Dei, to imitate God. Mahu rachum, afatatia rachum. God is merciful, I have to be merciful. God is kind, I should be kind, etc., etc. In other words, what is the maturing process of life? It is to become more and more giving, which means to be more and more godly. That's what life is about. And we now understand why Rav Kook is telling us the importance of humility for learning Torah, because if I want to connect with God... And that is what Rav Kook says in Source Yud Zayin, 1 Yud Zayin. Hasonet agava zocheh litaneg bedveikut b'Hashem. If I want to cleave to God, the way to do it is by copying God. Uvotid bak, cleave to God. Chazal say there in the Tanchuma and Yalkut Shimoni, how can you stick to God? He doesn't have a body. Well, it explains. Copy God. Because, right, we've seen this in the past, if a forgery or a counterfeit coin is similar to the original, you say it's close to the original. Mm. Right? If I can't come physically close to God, the only way to become close to Him and even to stick to Him is to be similar to Him. God is, by definition, altruistic. He's not selfish because He doesn't need to take anything. He's not arrogant. He is giving. He is altruistic. And that is the ABCs of Torah. That is also the mitzvot between man and fellow man. That is between man and God. It all stresses the importance of humility. Maybe another point that is connected. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes in Sefer Chassidim that if you're ever in a machloket, disagreement with someone, even if it's not nothing to do with Torah, you're in an argument, you should hope that the other guy wins the argument. Because if I win the argument, I knew it all the time. I haven't gained anything. On the other hand, if he convinces me, then I have learned a new piece of truth. And again, this is another aspect of the importance of humility. To summarize, let's jump down to source number 6. The Psikta Zutrita, at the very end of the Midrash, on Lekach Tov, on Megillat Rut. V'lama korim Megillah zu b'chaga Shavuot? Why do we read the Book of Rut on the holiday of Shavuot? Shemegillah zu kula chesed. The whole Megillah is about chesed. That Nomi is helping Rut, and Rut is helping Nomi, and Boaz is helping them, and everyone's helping each other, and they want to do chesed even to the dead cousin who did not leave children, Yibum, Chalitza. The whole idea of chesed, v'atorah kula chesed, the Torah which was given on Shavuot, it is chesed from the beginning to the end. How do you understand that? Well, if you just say, well, it's talking about mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and fellow man, well, that's half the Torah. That's not the whole Torah. But now that we understand that the whole Torah is about being godly, it's about being altruistic, and that that is when God finished creating the world, first mitzvah He gave us was pru urvu, have children. You create worlds. And when Shabbat came around, Hashem told us He rests on Shabbat, so we should rest on Shabbat, because the whole idea is we want to copy God. And the main point of copying God is tzimtzum, to condense myself, to limit myself, to be a giving, to be an altruistic person. And that is why we read Megillat Rut, which is all about chesed, on Shavuot, which is all about chesed. The Torah is all about chesed. Shneamar, v'torat chesed al lishona, v'nitna b'chag ha-shavuot. Have a chag sameach to everybody.